Okay, we will call to order this Board of Commission meeting, April 10th at now 2:09 PM. We start these meetings with prayer reading or thought and then the pledge. Councilman, you want to lead us in the or the prayer first? Yeah, sorry, is it Greg? Greg Gordon. And then we'll do the pledge.
Yeah.
Our dear Father in heaven, we are grateful to bow our heads before thee. We thank thee for so many blessings, for the blessings of democracy and freedom. We thank thee for all the good people in this county and those that serve in it, for all the employees and public servants, and for all the good families and people who reside here. We ask thee to bless them and bless us in this meeting, that we may have thy spirit to be with us, that we can work together well and be wise and be guided by thy spirit. We ask a blessing on all of those who are in need and ask that we can better help and serve them ourselves as well. For all these things we pray and ask a blessing on all those who participate in this meeting. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, okay. We lost one of our commissioners again. Okay. Should have pretty good internet down there in Spanish Fork. Okay, while we're getting that back up, that feed, thank you for that prayer and pledge. We are starting off today with two public hearings. We ask during public hearing that there's typically differing sides, so we ask to keep decorum. We ask that you not cheer or applaud. That may deter someone with an opposing view to feel like they don't want to get up and say how they, you know, their thoughts. So please refrain from that. We ask that you keep your comments to, what's our shot clock?
Three
minutes.
Excuse
me. 2 minutes.
We do have a long agenda.
And then, just ask that if things are becoming repetitive, that we hear you, we get it. If things keep getting repeated, we would ask that you could defer to maybe one of your spokespersons. So, the first public hearing is to consider disposal of significant parcel of real property. Approximately 20.387 acres. I'll entertain a motion to go into that public hearing.
Before we do that, can we just have Richard maybe tell us, give
Good
us
idea.
Specifics on this parcel?
Good idea, Commissioner.
So where, the specific parcel, where is it and what are we talking
sure.
about?
Richard Nelson, Public Works Director. This parcel is in the southeast corner of where the Timpanogos Special Service District treatment plant is in the Linden area. It's just west of the railroad tracks, between the railroad tracks and the lake.
Okay.
It's an area that TSSD is wanting to do some expansion, and that's the need for looking at declaring it surplus so we can enter into some negotiations with them.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
With that, I'll make a motion to open the public hearing for the disposal of that parcel.
Okay, we have a motion. And I'll
second that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're now in public hearing. I noticed that we did get some more agendas. If you walked in and there were not any, Officer Andrea has some more agendas here if you'd like one. So we are now in public hearing to hear any comment on the disposal of this property. Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion to go out of public hearing.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. And then similar fashion, does somebody want to give us a tee up on the next item? I think we're pretty aware, but Dale, do you want to?
Just the Maverick Mike.
Maverick, Maverick Rob.
Dale, our county attorney's office. Commissioners, we're here for a public hearing on the expansion of a vested mining right. So what happens is, if someone owns a vested mining right and they can expand that to other property, even though the zoning may prohibit mining in that zone. And that's what this is. The applicant, Maverick Rock, has filed a notice that they would like to expand, and it's required to come before the commission. The actual mining use is conclusively presumed to be vested unless someone brings forth evidence that, by clear and convincing evidence, that it has not been established. I don't know that anyone's ever going to be able to challenge a vested mining use, because they go back, this one's back to the 1930s. So I don't really think that's going to happen. However, to expand that vested mining right, the county commission needs to make two findings. If they meet these two findings, you have to approve the expansion. That's the way the statute reads. So first, the owner will have to prove that this vested mining right and the expansion to this new mine is one of these three: is contiguous to the current mine, is the same mineral trend as the current mine, or is a geologic offshoot to the current mine. And so they will come in and they'll present that evidence at the time of the expansion. But and really, that I think it's common sense. The two mines have to be linked. Otherwise, you can't expand. You just can't have a mine in use and then expand it anywhere you want. It has to be part of the same mineral vein. Okay. Now, if they provide proof of that, the commission is required to approve the expansion unless there is clear and convincing evidence of that there will be an imminent danger to public health, safety, or welfare. Okay, that would really, so you make those two findings. If it's the same mineral vein, you must approve unless there's an imminent danger to the public. Today is just the public hearing. The applicant, as of last night, requested a continuance. I think it's item number 21. Which is actually for the commission to address the expansion. They've asked for a continuance. They actually, they're claiming that there will be additional properties that will be added to the expansion. We haven't seen those, but they'll have to provide a legal description for those. So my recommendation was that we hold this public hearing because there may be citizens who want to be heard on this. We need that on the record. We also need that for your ability to assess whether the expansion should be allowed. And then we'll continue number 21 until there's another notice of expansion, and then we'll notice it up again for the commission to actually take evidence from the applicant.
And at that time, would it be appropriate to have another public hearing?
There is nothing wrong with doing that, no, sir. Because the expansion may change based on what they file. So if we want to have another public hearing, that would be fine.
I would like to do that if you're...
I'm fine with that.
Commissioners, okay. At least knowing that. And is the applicant here, do we know?
I don't know. I suggested that they have a representative here to hear from the citizens, because there may be some legitimate objections that will go to the imminent danger that needs to be addressed by the applicant.
Okay. And so is there anyone here from Maverick Rock LLC? Okay.
They might be listening.
Sure. We'll make sure that, you know, any concerns or questions, we can get those. We've certainly received several emails and some comments, of course. So, okay. Any questions, commissioners, for Dale before?
Nope.
I have none.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Okay.
I can second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. We're now in public hearing. Please come to the pulpit and let us know your name and for the record. And I think Mayor Staley, you're look at that.
We're starting.
Since I'm representing the whole town, can I have more than 2 minutes? But I'll try.
No, we would absolutely entertain that.
From the council's recommendation, I think that we have some pretty serious concerns about the continuous or the offshoot. You know, this mine of their expansion is approximately 5 miles away. It goes through the Goshen Valley. They're continuous. If it was continuous, it would go right through the town of Goshen. There's I'm no geologist, but they're mining limestone. The whole Goshen Valley is sand. What they've been stealing out of there, stealing is not the right word, taken out of there, I'll talk about that in a little bit, it's just been sand. It's not been limestone. It's not been quarried rock. And the other thing is just public danger. We've had Maverick Rock came into our town. They're going down three full blocks of an extremely rural road and three blocks of our center street. Our road now is significantly damaged. They came in there. They tried to get all the sand out of there they wanted for a specific project. They did get shut down by Utah County. It does feel like a lot of us that we were really misled. Originally, we're just pulling sand out of there to build a building. And now we're going to, hey, can we just do this for a couple of more weeks? Hey, now we're going to do this. Now the county shut them down. So there's some significant concerns about what they've already done in Goshen. If this is approved, it also, and these are things that we can document and show the commission. We have a well approximately a half a mile away. The well that's our primary well for Goshen that's in our source protection. This mine would be in the area that's source protect for our water. So there's very significant concerns there for our citizens that this could be affecting the water that we drink as well. Road damage is dust. You wouldn't believe the dust. I actually had to drive myself up there one day and just ask them to stop. The dust was just absolutely incredible coming into our town. This, where they're doing this mine is literally on the boundary of the town of Goshen. So it's before you, but it really is just impacting the Goshen very, very heavily. As they drive back into town on our rural road, like I said, the road's completely damaged. The road just is muddy and gross. They have been good enough to come in there and they bring their sweeper truck, but you just can never quite stay up on top of it, right? It's ruinous. During our school zone hours, they would go down a different road. So now we're kind of destroying another road, which we're glad that they're taking safety into account to not go through the school zone, but yet, being safe this way is damaging more roads the other way. I think I can kind of end there, but there's some very significant concerns. The source protection, the road damages, the dust, the dirty roads, the safety of the children's. We've been misled from the beginning from these gentlemen, we believe. The fact checking of the mining seam, you know, like I said, I'm no geologist once again, but it seems like a really big stretch to say that you're going to go 5 miles away through a sandy lake bottom through the town of Goshen, and it's going to be a contiguous seam of mining rights. So I would just ask the commission to make sure that they're really considering these facts, make sure we're really getting our stories straight, and they're proving that these things could not be done. I know that this, if you guys do approve this when they ask you to, it's just a zoning change, and there'll be other regulations that need to be in line, but those things will be need to be very heavily regulated for Goshen to not be very heavily impacted in a lot of different ways, like I've said. So yeah. I think that's it, actually.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
So that, I do have one question for Dale, not for you. Sorry.
Is it okay if we wait until we're out of public hearing?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Anyone else that would like to speak to this?
Oh, okay.
How's it going?
Good.
I'm Raymond Bond. I own the house that is actually right. Their entrance to this, where they're proposing to mine, is about 20 feet from my driveway. So when they pull trucks up there waiting for the gate to open, they are blocking my driveway with trucks. So just to add on to the mayor's stuff, the concerns, I have two little boys that go out and play. That is my driveway. The road is so narrow that if they have a truck coming westbound and have a truck coming out eastbound, they cannot pass each other on the road. So they cannot get around each other. I've watched them multiple times. I've seen trucks actually drive into property to be able to pass each other. And on top of, you know, they're damaging the roads, they've blown out the shoulders of the roads, making tracking mud out. They do bring a sweeper when they can. But they track mud to where my whole driveway is mud. And then when it's not muddy, it's the sand. They're not bringing a water truck in. They have track out rock, but they'll fill the track out rock with mud within a couple hours. I mean, it's a constant truck in and out, in and out, in and out all day long. So the biggest concern is just really it's a safety thing. And then on top of, having my taxpayer dollars go to fix roads that they're damaging, that we're not getting any kickback from, because they're not really zoned into Goshen city limits. So it's a big safety issue. I mean, I'd hate to see coming into summer some kid get hit by one of these trucks. They're going to have a real big lawsuit. And the whole town of Goshen should be fighting for this. There's some people that are opposing it, but I mean, the roads that they're taking, that's not an entrance to a mine site. And the deposits of sand is coming out of Goshen Canyon. It's a natural riverway that's brought that sand in the pat in, you know, years prior. What they're mining is another 1,000 feet up in elevation in a rock mine. So I don't know how the deposits would be the same. But yeah, it's like the mayor said too, they did lie to us because they said that they were going to be 2.5 weeks just hauling some sand to put in some buildings, some cattle buildings and stuff like that. And it's drug on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So my wife was actually one that kind of pushed the county into shutting them down. But yeah, we don't want to see that. I don't want to see my property value go down because they bring in a commercial mining site where there's trucks going by all day, every day. I mean, they're there at 6 a.m. waiting for them to open the gates at 7. So, I mean, it's waking my kids up and all of that stuff too. So, and it's all day. I mean, it's a nonstop truck after truck after truck, but it's a big concern. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. And I don't want to take anybody's rights away on their property either, but it's not for a mine. Other than where your county line splits residential, that's the only difference. They're having to drive through residential no matter what. So it's a big concern for me. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
May I again?
Mayor, just because.
I guess I would just invite the council. I mean, sometimes we're just out in Goshen and we don't see you guys out there very often, but I would love to just show you really, I could show you on a map, but what this does to us as a town, right? It is literally from me to your guys' office to our homes and our town, our rural roads. And the county's zone really is, this is a future residential zone. And to take it to a mining zone is just, that's where Goshen will expand, will be that direction. So I guess I would just challenge you guys, if you really want to come and see what this could or could not do to us and see the impacts of the safety and the narrowness of our streets, I could provide photos and actually have photos, but it's like Mr. Bond said, it's a road not even as wide as this room. We're taking semis down it just can't happen in our town without some heavy, heavy regulations or stipulations. So thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to go out of public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close public hearing.
Motion.
And I can second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, we're now out of public hearing. Dale, sounds like we might have some questions for you.
Can you get us the legal definitions for things like vein? Having worked in mining myself, I also recognize that if it's the same geological vein, even though it's physically separated, it can still be considered the same vein. But I need to know in Utah law whether they're looking at a geological vein or whether they're actually looking at a contiguous vein. Does it make sense?
Not completely, because I don't know mine.
Because you've not worked in mine. It's and like I guess you asking an insurance question. I'm asking a mining
question.
Well,
my follow-up question to that is how much effort should we at Utah County have to be putting in for this, right? Isn't that on Maverick to provide to us?
It is.
Yes. Okay. They would pay, right, I'm guessing, a geological firm to be able to provide this.
Well,
that's fine too. I just want to make sure.
We can't dictate how they do it. They just have to provide enough evidence that you can make a conclusion that's contiguous, same mineral trend or geologic offshoot.
Right.
We do have another agency involved here. You can only expand a hard rock mineral mine. Okay, this isn't about sand. Sand is not a mineral under state law. So it's the limestone, and they claim that the limestone mine that they currently operate out of is connected to this one.
Okay.
And they would have to provide proof of that. Sure. If they don't, then we say, well, you haven't met your burden, so we can't expand it.
Do we have specs or something that lets us understand that that's acceptable proof?
We do not, and we do not have a mining expert on staff, so it will just be up to us to look at it. I'm sure the state would be willing to help.
Okay.
Make that determination.
I'm not trying to dispel any doubts or favor one or the other, to be clear. I just want to make sure that we do our due diligence.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to spend a ton of our taxpayer dollars doing.
Well, the only reason I say that is because I can see their expert coming forward and saying it's the same geological vein. So I wanted to know in state law whether the same, because like if we've got coal on this side of the Bonneville Lake formation and we have coal on this side of the Bonneville Lake formation and we can test the mineral composition of the coal and we can prove that it's the same vein, my guess is that's what their expert's going to do. So I want to know in state law, how do we define that? Because if I'm their lawyer, I'm going to define it in the most broad way possible. I want to know when we make a determination, what definition does the state use?
I'll provide that for you for
and
the next.
Dale, while I have you, item 21 of the regular agenda is to approve or deny the expansion. We are tabling that, but do I need to entertain a motion for another public hearing set for the 24th if we are tabling it for that day?
Or continuing.
It doesn't hurt to do that. However, I'll let you know that
continuing noticing that we're also going to have a public hearing.
I think, right.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
It may not be on the 24th. They still have to give us the new information or request it be on the agenda again.
So we can just continue it till further notice.
I think so, because we don't have that yet. They made a request to continue, you know, I would go ahead and continue it to the 24th based on what they've presented. And then if they add to it, then we can react to that.
Okay.
Before us, all we have now before us is they've asked us to continue today's hearing based on what they've submitted already. And we anticipate new information, but I haven't seen it.
I don't mean to belabor this, but is the adding, we're considering adding more property?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
That's what they've said.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think a second public hearing would be in line because if there's more property added, there's going to be more impacts.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll, and I agree.
Assuming that, I mean, setting a date for a public hearing for what we have now today is kind of difficult because Maverick needs to understand that we can't the day before punt.
No.
We have people taking work off to be here. And so we've got to be stern with them on that, right? So thank you. Anything else, commissioners?
I have none.
Okay. Well, is it appropriate, Paul, if we just make that motion since it's a regular agenda item and not on consent?
I conclude the public hearing and then...
We did.
We're out of public hearing.
We did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're good.
Okay, so then let's take action on item 21 of the regular agenda.
Right. I'll make a motion to continue item 21 of the regular agenda. And I think I'm just going to continue it without date. And if they get us the needed information between now and then, and we think we can make a public hearing happen soon enough, we can make that happen. But I feel comfortable just continuing it without date until we have more information.
Only because we need to continue. We need 2 weeks to notice anyway.
Exactly.
And so if it changes... It's
going at to be, least, yes, and there may be additional considerations, right. So this would be a good start.
Yeah, continue without date.
All our
and I can second that.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 That motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Mayor, if you didn't get enough of your city council meeting last night, you're welcome to stay. Look at that.
I have a real job too, so
I figured that's what you were going to do.
Make sure you know who's going next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. It may look a little different to you. The consent. This is what it looked like as a city councilman for me. Consent is consent. We don't build the consent now. It's consent agenda. These are typically items that we've done a lot of homework on as commissioners, and we've discussed and we've moved and many things like... you know, you'll see approving alcohol licenses for permits for events and things of that nature. So any items off of consent that any commissioner would like to discuss further?
At this point, no, not for me.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on the consent
item. Commissioner, can I interrupt you?
Oh,
just
you bet.
One
go ahead, Paul.
Moment there. We had a request on number 22 on consent. That deed is, the legal description on that deed is described in meters and...
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think the county departments are happy to have you approve that subject to the, correcting it in feet.
I didn't hear what you said about the name. Or
no.
Oh, number 22.
22
it's
was...
It's described in meters.
In meters.
22 on consent, yeah.
Understood.
So we would, the staff would appreciate if we approve that with the stipulation that it be put
correct.
Into, well, I mean, it's probably correct. It's just put into our standard use of measurement in the
what
United States rather than the UK.
There, we are in
we're
the USA.
We're scratching our heads, but anyway.
Do you have your kilometers on your, you set your scale at home to that kilos so that you weigh less.
Yeah, I'm trying to drop a few.
No, I get it. Okay. All right. No issues there, commissioners?
Nope.
Okay.
None.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
And I will second.
Thank you. Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That passes. Now we'll move on to our regular agenda. Item number one, approve and authorize commission chair to sign an agreement with the Utah County Deputies Association to provide support for the 2024 patrol technique training course. Any questions on that one?
Nope.
None for me.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Item number two, approve and authorize the execution of a Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands financial statement for the Utah Cooperative Wildfire System Participation Commitment. Any questions on this one?
None for me.
Nope. It's pretty standard. We do it every year.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Item three. Authorize a change to the staffing plan in Utah County Commission to add one full-time career service assistant to the county administrator. Ezra, do you have anything you want to say on this?
Not too much, just that with the creation of this position, we've found a lot of projects and opportunities where cities or other entities that we're working with have not been willing to reach out to the county to address urgent needs until my position got here, and now... Not only have we had a bunch of work that we'd known needed to be done, there's also a lot of additional work and projects that are now being discovered as I've been in this role for some time. And so this would be a position to help me with project management on some of those things and helping just support all those efforts.
Yeah. The comment that I'll make on this is any organization that has follow through, follow up, and accountability runs significantly more efficiently and effectively. During my 5+ years at the county, what I've discovered is that we traditionally haven't had a lot of follow up, follow through, and accountability on projects that the commissioners work on, solely because we as commissioners have such packed schedules. Yesterday, I didn't even step foot in my office until 4 p.m., but I had already worked an 8-hour day by the time I walked into my office. So then being able to do follow-up and follow-through with department heads on things that we discussed 2 months ago in an admin meeting, they're already all at home with their families by the time I get to it. And so that's just one example of dozens that we have discovered that there's not a lot of follow-up, follow-through. And so a project manager level position will help us have more accountability, more follow-up, more follow-through, and will essentially result in us serving the constituents better, more efficiently, more effectively.
And for my part, I agree that more follow-up helps significantly for a variety of projects, and the county is no different. But I would like to not yet authorize this change, just to confirm a few points for consideration that I don't have easily accessible at my fingertips at this time. So I'd like to hold off on an action for this particular item if there's room to do that this time.
Ezra, what does that do to you tabling this? I know we've really talked for months about this position.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks, obviously, for something like this won't be the end of the world, but if we could meet Tom, I'd be happy to touch base with you on those things. If you need any additional information from me, happy to do that. So,
okay. A couple weeks gives you enough time, Commissioner Sakovich?
I think so, yes.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion to continue to our next commission meeting, the 24th.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
All right, I'll second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to continue item number 3 to April 24th. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. That is continued. Item number 4. Let's see. 4 and let's see. Oh, these are not the same. Authorize a change to the staffing plan and community development to add one full-time appointed director community development position and delete one full-time career service associate director. Do you want me to talk about this, or would you guys like to?
Yeah, I can introduce it. So currently our community development division is a division under Public Works, and this would change community development to be its own department, similar to other counties and how cities operate. So this is something that was done back in originally the 2008 downturn, I believe, as a cost-saving measure. And as community development operations have expanded and kind of returned back to the normal working environment, this seems to make a lot of sense. So,
as the portfolio over Public Works, it's been interesting to be in meetings with Richard and Bryce together, and it does seem that these, yeah, they work very well. The synergy is great, but it seems to me that these departments should be separated again, like they were originally. And
yes.
Okay. Well, I think what's that, 16 years, we've only asked Richard to temporarily do something for a cost savings measure for 16 years as our population has doubled. So thank you. But
was that a motion?
It
sounded almost close to it.
I will approve. I will make a motion to approve item number 4.
Okay.
Number 4, I approve, yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that passes. Item 5, approve or deny, an ordinance to amend the Utah County General Plan land use element map from commercial to residential and to amend the official Utah County zone map from the neighborhood commercial zone RR5, 3.8 acres, Spring Lake area. Any questions on this?
My only question is that if it's zoned RR5, is that not, I mean, is that different than RA5? Because that's a 5-acre minimum and this is a 3.8 acre parcel.
Bryce Armstrong, Community Development Department.
Wow, welcome.
I don't know. It sounds like I can get fired more easily now, so I'm not sure about this. But Commissioner, to answer your question, they are different. They both have a base zoning, a minimum lot size, parcel size of 5 acres.
Well, that's what I thought, and this is a 3.8 acre
yes,
parcel.
Yes, the RR5 zone is a zone that has traditionally been associated with areas that are either adjacent to a city or have access to a central water system. And in that case, where they do have a water system, the minimum size goes down to half an acre.
Okay.
So these technically could be, I don't know if these are on the water system. I assume they are. So technically these
but
would be
a
conforming.
But if they are on the water system, then they could go to half an acre.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for explaining that. I'll make a motion to approve item number 5.
Okay. We have a motion.
And Tom seconds.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Item number 6, adopt an ordinance to amend chapters 2, 8, and 12 of the Utah County Land Use Ordinance to specify the requirements associated with and allow the assembly and sales of high tunnels and hoop houses in the RA5 zone. Kevin Stinson, do you want to give us a little...
Yeah.
Kevin Stinson with Community Development. So this is an applicant-driven application, and the applicant is here today if you wish to address questions to them. The applicant has, them and their family have been in the business of building hoop houses, greenhouses, basically. I had to know what the difference was between a hoop house and a high tunnel, and I'm not sure if I still know. But it's basically to extend the growing period. They came with this proposal that they wanted to be able to operate this business, this family business, out of this location. It didn't quite meet our home occupation code. And so we did develop this one in combination with our attorneys and with the applicant. We went back and forth several times and came to what you see before you in the code, basically allowing them to do it in the RA5 zone. It very much so models the the home use code with a few other stipulations in there, allowing them to have up to four more additional employees. We did also tailor this really to them, not wanting to open this wide to the whole county, still trying to keep the feel of the area of residential. And so, let's see if we had any other, it does need to be all contained within a storage structure to once again protect the neighbors. There's distances that are required from properties. Again, it does resemble a lot of the home occupation code.
Any other questions for Kevin?
Nope.
I'll
make a motion.
None for me at this point.
I'll make a motion to approve item number 6.
I can add support and
have a
second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes. Thank you. Thank you, staff, for working with the applicant. 7 and 8 are both similar, approving ag protection areas. I've reviewed both of these, and I have no questions on these. With both of them?
Yeah, I have no questions on 7 or 8.
And I'm in the same position. No questions from my part.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve items 7 and 8 then.
Okay. We have a motion to
approve second.
Items 7 and 8 and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, those pass.
Aye.
Thank you. We had a request to continue item 9. I believe. Ezra?
We've got someone here that wants to speak to it.
Oh, okay. Well, we have someone here. Why don't you go ahead and come up and tell us who you are?
I'm Scott Smith, the originator of this APA in we started at application, I believe it was completed in November 2004. We were fortunate to farm our 51 acres, which has been in the Smith family for 7 generations. And when we came in to the APA, there were a number of neighbors that didn't have the 40-acre minimum that applied with us. The reason I would address you today is concerning approximately 36 acres. It's in multiple parcels that is no longer being farmed. A contractor bought it 6 years ago, developer. I'm concerned through some of their actions that at this time, as we renew it, I believe would be the time to, Kevin Stinson recommended, I mentioned this to you, that it's my feeling personally that to leave that in, and a developer has basically no interest in farming it. They're currently in a bankruptcy. They'll be foreclosed on, supposed to be a sale down here next Monday, the 15th, that to leave that ground in when they're not farming it, we appreciate it. We appreciate everything it affords us as a grower. We raise fruit, we raise produce, we have animals, raise somewhere between 50 and 100 ton of produce a year. We're not huge by any means. But to leave these folks that have taken this property, the developer bought from my brother and sister who have since passed away in the last 20 years, and their family sold the ground, and I wish the developer well, but I believe it dilutes the integrity. Does that make my point?
Oh, does it? I couldn't be happier to hear what you're saying, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Coming from ag myself, I really appreciate hearing that.
And I've got the parcels where their development is, and I can provide you with the maps or someone to show where that ground is. When they noticed their foreclosure, I'm not sure their left hand knows what their right hand's doing. They put six of these notices on my property, and I haven't been able to reach the attorney. I've left him a message. We left him an email. In fact, I think my attorney contacted him. There's no mortgage on any of my property, so I'm obviously not part of this foreclosure, but that's what kind of loose ends they're playing with. I don't want to come into the next hearing in 20 years or in the next, sometimes somebody does something and that's part of our APA. That doesn't represent what I do. I'm licensed by the state of Utah, and regulated by the state of Utah, the FDA, the EPA, and we follow reasonable, prudent practices, and I don't want to mess that up. They're part of our APA. They're not farming. It's time to remove that ground. That's my request.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate those comments. I would share with the other commissioners that I spoke with the mayor earlier this week, and he had a situation in his community where a new landowner buys a piece of property. He's been there 1 year, and he's the last holdout for a road to go through an area, right, here in our county. And he says, nope, I'm in ag protection. He'd never done anything with ag protection. It's really frustrating. You know, this mayor says, you know, he's using it as a stick in order to get more money out of his property. And that's not what ag protection is made for. And so I appreciate those comments. You know, the two previous agenda items, I know how much these individuals went through of time, effort, and their own money in order to create those ag protection areas. So,
yep.
So I know we've been asked to continue it for more conversations.
Yeah, I've got no problem continuing it for 2 weeks to April 24th. Does that give us enough time, or do we want it?
Who?
I was going to say we could ask, possibly ask community development to just comment on the options that you have here.
Yeah.
So I guess a continuation is an option. I'm not necessarily thinking community development is requesting that. I think it's clear as to what the opposition is to continuing it on these certain parcels. We've looked at some aerial photos, and it appears that there is no active agricultural production on the property. You can't tell if someone's, you know, running some livestock on them or not, but they seem to be in the same condition that they were when they were approved for ag protection 20 years ago. But we're welcome to look at it a little more closely. If we do continue, we'd probably want some direction as to maybe what you would want us to look at. You also have an option to approve this continuation of the ag protection, except for certain parcels. And so if you feel comfortable with what's been represented today, you're welcome to do that. And then also anyone has the ability to come in and withdraw themselves from ag protection at any point, and that's a relatively simple process. So,
Bryce, just looking at the agenda language here, it looks like the commission has the opportunity to refer it to the Planning Commission and to the APA Advisory Board.
They do. That opens up the whole entire process again, and it's very cumbersome and would take quite an effort and a lot of notification. But that would be for the entire property, but we could hone in on certain aspects of it too. That is an option.
If we would approve holding out the 36 acres, as Bryce is kind of talking about,
Then the new owner
could then plead their case. But do you is there a requirement, it seems like, when you and I were talking about this, for how much opposition is required to remove someone from ag protection? Is there like a number?
I don't think so.
When we spoke yesterday?
Okay. I don't think relative to removing.
I don't know why in my mind I thought I heard you say that there needed to be five.
Oh, no. So, yeah, if there were so the county code has adopted a provision that if there's five complaints within a three-year period of practices on the property, then the county automatically refers it to the process Mr. Jones just referred to review that.
And those practices being non-ag practices.
Yes, or non-traditional ag. I think that was put into place for, we get a lot of complaints about mink farms, as you can imagine. And so those generate complaints. Sometimes those complaints are usually looked into. And if they're operating under approved agricultural practices, then those don't seem to be deemed valid for that purpose to refer it to a true review.
Which is why many people want to be in ag protection.
Absolutely.
Avoid people complaining about smells and
yes.
animals.
So we have not had any complaints that I'm aware of on this.
But it's not necessary because we're in the renewal status.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Terrific. Commissioner Sakovich, do you have any questions on this one?
No, this has been pretty clear from the beginning for me. So I would be happy to support this action here, but I don't have any additional comments on it.
So I look at it, maybe two options. There's one is we could take those 36 acres and refer them to the Planning Commission or the council, or we could continue this for 2 weeks. We could see who the new owner is and what their intent is, and then if we need to, we could refer at that time. But I'm inclined to do one of those two things. Either do a direct referral or a continuation and then a referral.
Yeah, just a couple quick follow-ups. There was notice provided to all owners of record, including the subject four parcels. I understand there's a process going on, so whether or not that made it to them. A new owner would also have the ability to come in and reapply for ag protection on their own if they want to reinstate it if it's deemed to be removed. But those are good options too, to kind of maybe see where the ownership lies out. And
I don't know that we need to refer the 36 acres. Well, I guess we just say, if you want to start back over with your 36 acres. I mean, I know we've discussed, you know, Scott mentioned 40 acres. You and I have had conversations about lowering our ag protection amount to somewhere.
And they could piggyback an existing, if they're adjacent.
Next door, so they could apply if they want to reapply.
So we could remove those 36 acres and approve.
That's the motion that I feel most comfortable with at this moment.
I'm fine with that. And the new owners can either apply to piggyback or not. Okay, I would be okay with that. I'll make a motion to approve item number
I agree.
Removing those 36 acres.
Okay.
And I will second that.
The motion was to approve number 9, removing the 36 acres in question.
Okay, I heard a motion and a second. Any other questions? Okay, all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Do we need to identify these 36 acres in some way?
What's that? Do we need to identify?
So, yes. The Smiths came in and provided a map, and they identified the parcels.
Yeah, I could read. I mean, I could read.
And I provided those to Ezra.
Yeah. Is this the 2017-1, 2014-6, 2014-101, and 2014-42? Were those three from the email?
Was there three
Should
or four?
Should be four.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Yeah, those four. Yeah, sorry.
Yep. Those were ones that were represented from the
that are owned
Smiths.
By Provo Canyon Estates LLC.
Yes, I did verify that.
Okay.
To clarify, that's what I meant by the 36 acres in question.
And I was just wondering if maybe somebody will get with Scott and just let him know kind of maybe what just happened. Is that cool?
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Item number 10, approve and authorize the signing of a notice of non-renewal of Utah County Agreement 2020-710 between Utah County and Questica.
I got no questions. I'm going to make a motion to approve item 10.
Okay, we have a motion.
And a second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Item 11. Approved tax credits and refunds recommended by the County Auditor's Office and Cancellation and Corrections Letter 272, dated March 22nd, 24.
Item 11 and 12 are essentially, they're very similar, just different letters, and I've reviewed both, and I'm fine to make a motion to approve both 11 and 12.
And I'm happy to support both 11 and 12.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes. Item 12, approve tax 13. Credits. And, you said 11 and 12. Thank you. 13, approve or deny and authorize the signing of a memo to, one, reduce the liability insurance requirements to $2 million per occurrence for the Pride in Progress event to be held on April 27th, 2024 on the steps of the Utah County Historic Courthouse and waive the $500 event permit fee.
Is it a nonprofit that's putting on this event?
No questions on my part.
You all know how I feel about this.
I know.
So I won't belabor. I will not belabor.
But. It is a 501c or 3c, whatever.
501c3.
Yeah, that's okay. It. C3.
All right. Just want to make. I will make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion.
And a second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Aye. 2-1. Thank you. That passes. Item 14, approve and authorize the signing of change order number 5 to agreement 2018-275 with Concer North America, Inc. for design of roadway and waterline improvements for Elk Ridge Drive in the amount of $58,700.
I got no problems. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion.
And I can second that.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Item 15 is also a change order to the patrol and medical remodel expansion with GSBS original agreement 22-177 to add survey and design of a new sidewalk guardrail and concrete retaining wall and add exterior detention door to the north wall, as well as PLC controls coordination and modifications for $53,950.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Item 16, approve and authorize the signing of amendment number 3 to agreement 2019-628 with HK Consulting for construction services to extend the contract through December 31st, 2026 at the existing rate to meet deadlines connected with ARPA-approved projects.
I've got no questions. I can make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion.
And I will second that.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Item 17, approve and authorize the signing of a mitigation agreement for Provo River Recreation feature improvements that will reimburse Utah County $550,000 to mill and repave the Provo River Parkway Trail from the Delta Diversion Structure downstream to the end of the trail at the parking area known as the West Provo River Trailhead, and complete painting and striping at Alligator Park parking lot. Any questions here?
I do not have any questions. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion.
Same here. Okay. A second.
All right, motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Okay, item 18, to approve a resolution authorizing Utah County to receive a temporary conservation easement from Alpine City and sign the Lambert Park deed of temporary conservation easement. Paul, I think you were going to tee us up on this a little bit, had any conversations about this?
Yeah, great. And I think I see our friends from Alpine here possibly so they could answer some questions or fill in any gaps, but Alpine did approach the county to receive and hold a conservation easement for the Lambert Park area. And under Utah code, Utah County is allowed to hold and receive a conservation easement.
and the county, I'm at that point, would be able to enforce the easement, which is intended to hold and maintain that property for the public benefit, to preserve that area in a natural, scenic, open condition for recreation and agricultural use. The easement is temporary. It would last up to 50 years. And
that's just... Do we need to determine that?
What's that?
No, it's in the contract.
It's already there.
It says 10 years with...
Up to 50.
Yeah, 10 years with a renewal, 8 years...
Four
times, which would be 40 years. So yeah. A total of 50 years max. But first 10 years and then every 8 years thereafter, it would be reconsidered.
I see.
And so basically that's the city's benefit. They could terminate the easement at those intervals. I suppose the county could as well.
Well, they could also terminate it with a vote of 4 of the city council members. So it can be reversed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I made sure it could all be reversed.
I misunderstood that part. So I think I appreciate your clarification. One of the things that I wanted to point out was our role as the county, as we've received, you know, emails, and this has been going on for quite some time. This was approved at an Alpine City Council meeting, and our role, as I see it, is to hold this. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you had, in many of our conversations about conservation easements and fears of mm-hmm. who holds the conservation easement, mm-hmm. I think we all agree that it would be very bad if this was being held by the federal government mm-hmm. and or China, if you will. And so I wanted to piggyback on some of, I believe, conversation that you had with Treasurer Oakes.
Yeah.
Who is very passionate.
So State Treasurer Marlo Oakes and I are both fellows for an organization called Club for Growth, which is a conservative think tank that brings conservative elected officials together to discuss issues. And this is an issue, right? There has been a trend in some areas of conservation easements that are held by private entities. And then those private entities sell those conservation easements to either corporations or foreign entities. And then the corporation of the foreign entity then controls that land. And that's a very frightening thing to me. And so we worked very closely with Club for Growth and a group of lawyers to look at what things would, I mean, conservation easements in theory can be good things because they preserve heritage land, they preserve farmland or open space or parks. But if done poorly, they can be very, very bad. And so we looked at what elements would a conservation easement need to have in order to be something that is not only a benefit to the community, but also doesn't become a risk or a liability, right? So this is what we're looking at. We want something that benefits the community, but doesn't create a significant potential risk or liability. And the things were, you want a maximum time, which this would be 50 years. You also want shorter interval times because the community, especially a community growing as quickly as ours, those things change. The third thing was you want the ability for the local entity to be able to reverse that conservation easement. Hence, with a vote of 4 out of 5 city council members, it can be reversed. The fifth thing would be you want a local entity holding that conservation easement, and that's a local entity that doesn't have the ability to sell it. Right. And so in this case, the county would hold it and we don't have a mechanism to sell it. So then it stays local. And then the fifth would be that you want to make sure that it's not going to compromise the health or safety of the local community. And in this case, there is a potential evacuation route that is required to be maintained in the easement. So this easement actually met all 5 of those. And not only did it meet all 5 of those, but then I sat with Treasurer Oakes, with Marlo and myself, and we looked at this with a group of people that are fighting conservation easements nationwide, and they agreed that this checked every one of those boxes, which is why I'm willing to vote for us to hold it. In fact, if there's going to be a conservation easement, this is the best case scenario for us to hold it and for it to have each one of those elements in the contract.
And my last point is just that Alpine City's already approved it. And
right.
So this would be
correct.
The last action needed to effectuate the easement. Conservation easement.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. You too. Commissioner Sakovich, do you have any?
No, Amelia covered it very, very well. There's been quite a history here, and I've been watching it, and I think I'm feeling comfortable in the direction we're going.
Okay. Terrific. I'm in support. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve item number 18.
Okay. I have a motion.
And I can second item number 18.
Okay, and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Thank you. Thanks for being here, guys. Item 19, to approve and authorize the signing of a resolution authorizing the signing of an interlocal cooperation agreement by and between Utah County, Utah, and Mountain Line Associates, MAG, relating to the provision of regional planning and other governmental services. Pretty simple.
I've got no questions. I'm ready to approve item number 19.
Okay, we have a motion.
And I have no questions either, so I'm ready to support.
Okay. When motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Okay. Item 20. I'm understanding we have some folks here that wanted to speak to one of the items, Adam.
Yes, thank you, Commissioners. Adam Beck, Utah County Attorney's Office. I know that on the application for Dixon Properties, the property owner is here and would like to speak to the item. Just as a little history and a little input, this property was, the building on the property burned down last year. The applicant applied to the BOE last year, and it was approved for a late hearing, and per the review of the BOE, the valuation was reviewed and adjusted over $9,000. It's my understanding that the property owner would like to have the commission take a look at previous years, 2022, 2021, potentially further. The position from the property tax officer and from the departments is that those older years, those are valuation issues that should have been addressed just like the 2023 year in that tax year. And so our recommendation is to deny those older years. And so you're welcome to ask me any questions, I believe Mr. Dixon's here and would like to speak on the item.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. I'm not quite as articulate as some of the other folks that have stood up here. Yeah. So I've done a very, very crude analysis. But in 2017, we appealed the tax rate, and it was adjusted. And basically what happened is they believed the property was not completed, which it wasn't, and it remained incomplete at 60% until the structure burned down at the end of last year. So an adjustment was made in 2017, and very, very slowly, as with all things, it crept up a little bit. The old analogy of boiling a frog, and I didn't pay attention. You know, the first year it went up a few $100s, and it seemed right. And the next year it seemed about right. Well, next thing you know, it's gone up significantly. And when I made the appeal for the 2023, and it was dropped back down to the exact same level that it was in 17. So my initial request to you folks is probably a little aggressive because I didn't have all the data. So I would propose that you ignore some of my requests there, but instead look at the total net taxes between 2017 and today and basically equalize them. It comes in around $18,000. At its peak, it jumped up to $25,600. So I'm just proposing if it was $18,000 in 17, it's $18,000 today. Let's call it $18,000 every year in between and adjust accordingly. That's the approach I took, a very simple mathematical approach. I know there's some others regarding my not appealing it earlier. Again, did not fully comprehend how much it had climbed until I was looking at the total destruction of the property and started digging into my tax liability and realized that there was something that was off. So I would just appeal and request an adjustment to equalize what the board agreed to for now and what they agreed to back in 2017. I think that's a reasonable ask.
I'm sorry to get your first name.
My name is Thomas.
Thomas Dixon.
Yes, thank you.
Thomas, you said that the building was at 60%.
Correct. And it did not change from 17 to till it burned.
So it just maintained for 6 years at 60%?
Correct.
Okay. What type of building was it?
It was a home. It was a private residence.
Was there anybody residing in the private residence?
No, thank goodness not.
I don't see Burt Garfield here. Oh, he's online. Okay, I was going to ask.
I'm online.
Yeah, Burt, I know that the taxes haven't necessarily stayed steady by any means, and there's been large fluctuations in between residential and commercial values, and I don't know if you have any insider thoughts on this.
Well, it's true. We came to a conclusion a couple of years ago. The property was 100% complete because it was listed for sale. And so it was changed to be considered 100% complete. Then it burned down. Then we checked at the records and saw that it was being listed for sale as an incomplete structure. So we are agreeing that it wasn't complete. The question is, can we go back to prior years and say it was percent complete when it wasn't raised in a timely manner?
Do we have any indication on what the tax rates would have been had we had it listed as incomplete in those years? What year did we switch it to complete?
17. So
it was 17.
It was 17. So starting in 18, we saw that adjustment, which is the exact same dollar amount that we discussed recently and changed.
Yeah. Do we know what those Bert's numbers
I think
would have been, Burt?
Was also kind of made it kind of messy is that even at a percent complete, at 100% complete, we were still valuing it less than it was listed for sale. So we thought our valuation was probably correct given what it was marketed for. But I believe we had it as a percent complete since 2020.
Okay.
And that would reflect in how the taxes jumped. You would see that from 17, 18, and 19 was fairly consistent, and then a sizable jump in 20, 21, and 22, and 23. But that was adjusted.
After it was burnt down.
Well, they went back and looked at 23. It burnt a couple days before the end of the year. So, but they did adjust it. I believe Burt and I met a while ago and agreed that was a reasonable rate at 60%.
We adjusted it for the current year.
Correct.
As not complete, but the question is prior years, can we adjust it to as a portion completed when that was not raised by the appellant in those years?
Well, if it was listed for sale at a higher rate than we had it the valuation at.
And it didn't sell. It didn't sell at that price. So again, I'm just asking if we can go to what it was in 17 and what it is today, the exact same tax rate in between.
Well, the problem is I can guarantee you that there have been a lot of tax adjustments between 2017.
There's no doubt. And again, this is a rudimentary.
So for us to go back and make and property tax does not work on a linear scale either. Right. So that would be very hard from my standpoint, if we don't have more specific numbers, that's very difficult because your tax rate, like I said, it does not stay linear. Even at an incomplete rate, residential and commercial have gone back and forth. We've seen fluctuations shifting towards commercial at 10, 11, 12% and back towards residential depending. And so seeing those fluctuations, I think a linear rate doesn't actually, you know, fit the bill on what we would be looking at.
And I don't disagree, but I had no way of calculating that. Mm-hmm. So if that's something we could look at, it seems reasonable to evaluate it as such based on a per annum.
I'd like to hear the thoughts of maybe one of the other commissioners. What are you guys thinking?
I'm trying to find my backup paperwork, but I don't see it. What kind of money total are we talking about?
Total is what he's
22 total?
Well, again, that's what I originally requested. I think that was not reasonable. After seeing the appeal and after talking to Bert and his group, I think it's appropriate to adjust the tax rate. It really comes down to about $19,000 over the course of a few years by bringing it down to the $18,600, which is the current tax rate, which matches the 17. I just subtracted out the difference for each year, and it comes out to around $19,000. So, and I have a balance owing as well, so I still anticipate taking care of that in the near future.
And it's not currently for sale.
It's not. It was raised. It was completely destroyed.
It's vacant land.
Last week, well, it's a hilly bunch of land right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's no structure on the property anymore.
That's probably what I'm holding on to. That there was an attempt to sell it for an established value, and going back is really difficult for me.
Yeah. And there was twice we tried to sell it over the course of the last 4 or 5 years to no avail, and then it burned. So. Yeah.
And anytime we're asking for a tax shift, obviously we're asking for that burden to be put on everyone in Utah County, right? And so you understand that.
I do.
So, Commissioner Sakovich, do you have anything to add?
No, it's been well covered, and I appreciate the history and the issues that there's being faced here. So I'm ready to go forward with our decision making here.
And did you have a motion with that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I would make a motion that we approve the text actions included in the recommendation letter 6.
Okay.
Do we have anybody else that wants to talk about any other issue?
Any other people here, Adam? Thanks, Thomas.
Thank
you. We're good for now.
If not, I'll second the motion. I just want to.
Thanks, Thomas.
I'm not aware of any others.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Item 21, we have taken care of. Item 22, approve and authorize an artificial intelligence acceptable use policy for Utah County.
All right.
This is a new one.
It's a new one. Patrick, you want to come and address that for us?
Thank you. I'm Patrick Waro, the Director of Information Systems Department.
Oh, really? How are we supposed to believe that? Just testing you out. Testing you out. Is that really him?
What I if am it's a robot?
His robot?
That's true. It could be artificial. Maybe.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is this a joke?
A deep fake.
It's a deep
could be.
Fake.
It could be. That would be really handy. I could have stayed home today. It would have been nice.
Good point. Sorry, Patrick.
That's fine. AI has actually been a technology that's been developing for a few decades. But with the advent of ChatGPT and other similar technologies, it's really become accessible to the masses. And it has tremendous potential to affect the way we do work. In fact, across a wide variety of tasks. It also comes with some danger of several things. How it handles private information, for instance, is a concern. So when we look at ways we would like to leverage this really transformational technology to the benefit of Utah County and its residents in our government setting, we want to make sure we're doing it using the best practices and as safely as possible to protect mostly citizens' data. So in order to do that, we formed an advisory committee over the last little while that spans several departments. We had over 10 people participating. We wanted a wide perspective to not only look at AI specifically, but how it could be and should be used throughout the county. And in an effort to sort of provide a policy which would give awareness and guidelines for county employees how best to use it. So that's really how this document came before the commission today. It represents the best thoughts today about how we'd like to start. I have to say, though, it's emerging technology. And with emerging technology, it's very fluid in how it's being used and the ways it can be used. We expect this to change rapidly in the next little while. But we felt it was important to, as early as possible, get a policy on the books. And this committee will continue to work and will probably anticipate making changes and additions and clarifications as needed as we go forward. Policy we did, I will say this, we wanted to also make sure that this policy is in clear, easy to understand language, because it's important that if we're asking for employees, it's scary. You talk about AI and immediately you think about deep fake and robots and that kind of stuff. And, you know, there is a technical side. That's one reason why they have my department downstairs. We have some experts in this field, but we're not the only ones. We have several tech-oriented people throughout the county, and these are the people that we use for this committee. We wanted to, though, to make sure, since this will apply to all county employees, that it's easy to understand when I'm operating within its bounds and when I'm not. And there will be in the next few weeks probably some required training for anyone who wants to use AI tools to help bridge the gap. But if you read the policy, it's short. It's 2 pages long, and it's pretty clear. We made an effort to make it very clear. But also know it's not done. I'm not sure it will ever be done as long as I'm here, because it's a fluid situation. Are there any questions you guys might have?
What do you see as the biggest threat?
Well, the biggest threat is liability to the county, and that can come in several ways. The biggest threat probably in liability is if we inadvertently or advertently enter in private protected information. Most AI is in an open format, which means we don't control it once you put it in there. So a lot of this document talks about, hey, what is PII, or private identifiable information, and so that you know you to not ever leverage that using an AI tool. Because once that information goes out, like say it's a name, an address, or birth date, it can be used, and it can be bought on the black market, and it can be used in a lot of dangerous ways. So most of this document is talking about, okay, so what types of information we want to make sure doesn't get out in the wild that can harm our residents. But there are other dangers too, dangers on infringements on intellectual property. Here's one of the issues with AI. You can ask it a question. You can ask ChatGPT a question, and it never says, well, I think. It just says, this is what it is. It's not always right. In fact, there's a lot of times we can never say, I'm just going to rely on what AI is going to tell me. A human has to be responsible, and that's in the policy. That if you're going to use AI, you take ownership of whatever that product is. So at the very least, you need to go and proofread everything that comes out of that and make sure it's accurate. It becomes really easy just to ask the question and take the answer, mm-hmm. but that's a danger. So there's several things like that. We also don't want to infringe on other people's intellectual property by mimicking artwork or images or plagiarizing other people's work and not give them credit. So AI will make those kinds of things easier to plagiarize and not even realize you're doing it. So these are the kind of liabilities that we're trying to safeguard the county against.
So I know, looking at the just kind of the composition of the committee, there are 10 of us. I do sit on this committee. There's 2 elected officials. I think there's like 5 or 6 departments represented. We've got folks from legal, IT, HR, the auditor's office. We've kind of checked all the liability boxes.
Assessors.
And the goal of the committee, we had written down 3 goals. Draft and update in the future a use policy for AI. communicate with employees and ensure that they have the training needed to utilize AI for efficiency, but also protect citizen data and not compromise confidential information. And three, learn more about AI, use cases, benefits, risks, and share what we've learned so that we can accomplish the above two goals. Those were kind of the goals of the committee. And this was the document that was created by the committee. I love that it's concise and short and easily understandable and digestible for our employees, but also protects citizens and their data, gives prohibited uses, accountability, like you said, for making sure that you're accountable for any work that you do with AI. So that encourages you to check everything. And then consequences for lack of compliance.
We're actually pretty proud of this. If you look across the board, it may not seem to everyone, but we are quite a ways ahead of what most government agencies are doing. There have been some that have just said, no, we're not allowing any AI. We don't think that's a responsible strategy. We think it has a lot to offer. It just needs to be done with eyes wide open and with a careful hand and with accountability.
Mm-hmm. Very good. No, I think it's a great starting point. I'd love to see it
great
down the future too. I know that there's going to have to be changes to it, right?
So, absolutely.
Some sort of plan to know, you know, that as we have to tweak it, it's going to have to happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. So great starting point.
Yep.
Very well done.
Yep.
All right. I'll make a motion
to
approve the artificial intelligence AI acceptable use policy for Utah County.
Okay, we have a motion.
And I will second it.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Item 23, our last item, approve and authorize the signing of Utah County resolution in support of the Utah County Children's Justice Center and designating the month of April as Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yeah, so I'll read the resolution and then we'll invite Heather Allen to come up and talk about the CJC North Center. So Utah County Commission resolution in support of the Utah County Children's Justice Center and designating the month of April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas in 2023, 1,861 primary victims of child abuse were served in the Utah County Children's Justice Center. And whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem affecting every segment of our community, and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone. And whereas child abuse can give long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects that have lasting consequences for victims of abuse. And whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and contribute to promoting the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, and nurturing environment. And whereas the Utah County Children's Justice Center leads in collaborative efforts to protect each child, advance justice, promote healing, and educate our community. And whereas in 2023, the Utah Children's Justice Center served 3,993 victims, both primary and secondary, facilitated 829 forensic interviews, performed 226 medical exams, conducted 2,046 follow-ups with caretakers, and screened 426 children ages 10 to 17 for their trauma level and suicidality. Now, therefore, we, the Utah County Commission, recommit to ensuring that every child grows up in a safe, nurturing environment that is free from abuse and neglect. We, the County Commissioners of Utah County, Utah, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2024 as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Utah County and urge our citizens to recognize this month by dedicating themselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families. So, I would like us to pass this resolution, but then, like I said, I would love to have Heather come and talk about the new CJC center that we are opening soon. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you so much for your support. My name is Heather Allen. I'm the Associate Director of the Children's Justice Center, and I oversee the American Fork location. And we're very excited to announce that we will be opening that new building soon in American Fork. And to commemorate the occasion, we will be having an open house on Saturday, April 27th. So right in conjunction with Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness. And we invite everyone from the community to join in that event. Amelia, I believe you will be there to support us. Mm-hmm. And we so appreciate that. And we just want to thank the community for the support that they have given us in the years that it has taken us to get to this point of opening this facility. And we have received donations that have been provided. This building has been provided by the community through donations and grants, and also for the generous support of the county with ARPA funds. So thank you so much for making this possible. I was just over there all day today setting up with Public Works, getting all the furniture in. It is going to be incredible and such a great resource for families in our community.
Tell us again. It's April 27th?
Yes, Saturday, April 27th. Oh, 11 a.m. I should tell you what time. 11 to 1. We're going to be making an event that is family friendly. So we want, you know, families to come with their kids and tour the center. We're going to have some family friendly activities, and we'll do the ribbon cutting ceremony at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
I think one of the
exhaustive things- work. Exhaustive work. And is this work that never ends? It's incredible.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we don't acknowledge enough is the fact that during the COVID shutdowns, we shut down our schools and our communities so that we could protect a very small population. And in the meantime, vulnerable children were locked at home with their abusers. And the amount of children, the increase in child abuse went up significantly during COVID. And so while protecting what we considered a vulnerable population, we significantly damaged a vulnerable population. And that's a population that we have a responsibility to take care of. Children, significantly more children were abused. Significantly more children got behind in schooling and education. And the number one health factor affecting youth today is loneliness. And a lot of that stemmed when they weren't allowed to hang out with their friends during COVID. And this was a group of people that was not adversely affected by COVID. So we took a group of not at risk individuals and we created a crisis that we will be cleaning up for a generation. So I think it's important that we always look at the consequences on our children. And I think it's crazy that we sacrificed the future of our children at a time over fear. So we have a lot of work to do to protect and support and help our children. And I really appreciate the work that the Children's Justice Center does. I heard a statistic that said 80% of offenders that commit child abuse were victims of child abuse themselves. We have an obligation to break that cycle. And the best way to do it is to make sure that the children have the support and treatment that they need. And the place they do that in Utah County is at the Children's Justice Center. So I want to vehemently support you, and I'll make a motion to approve this resolution, item number 23.
Perfect. Thank you for that. We have a motion.
Absolutely enthusiastically support.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes 3-0. Thank you. I would entertain a motion to strike.
Thank you very, very much.
You bet. Strike 24, hold 25, strike 26, and strike 27.
All right. Sounds good. I can make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay. Our last item is public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the commission? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go into closed session. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Right color. Okay, we're now back in regular session. I'll entertain one final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
You have a motion?
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you, everyone.